This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Business, and thank you to Shane Beattie. It is Friday, the 27th of March at 6:31. Coming up on today's show, we'll be talking to the France-Ireland Chamber of Commerce, and we'll be looking at age estimation using AI and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the inimitable company of Kate English, Chief Economist with Deloitte. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Joe.
Can we start with that OECD report, which predicts nasty inflation for the US, among other things?
Yes, this is... This week, we actually saw a number of reports that give us the first insight into how institutions are thinking about the inflation forecast for this year. So the OECD is the first global report that we have, and it showed growth in the global growth is expected to moderate to 3.3% this year, or falling from 3.3% in 2025 to 2.9% in 2026. Mm. But really, it was the inflation figure we were all looking at. G20, it said inflation at an average across the G20 would rise to 4% in 2026. And similarly, within the US, it had forecasted that the inflation rate would hit 4.2% in 2026. Mm. That's up about 1.2 percentage points from the previous set of forecasts. So the growth outlook hasn't changed significantly since its December forecast period, but those inflation figures have. And I suppose this is what we've been waiting for, given the last 4 weeks of volatility, particularly in the energy market. A little bit closer to home, reports that we saw out from the Central Bank of Ireland yesterday mirrored actually some of those inflation forecasts, which the OECD
are I thought the inflation number would be higher, given the energy shock we're undergoing. They're talking about 2.9% or something like that.
Yes, but we had scenarios as well that were released both across the Central Bank and the ESRI, with some of them being up, and the Bank of Ireland as well, some of them which did have us closer to that 4% mark. I think what's critical here, though, with any set of inflation figures, and they all stated too, is that these models have been run with about 2 weeks, probably max, of the current energy shock data built into it.
They don't have enough data.
No one has the data. They are still highly uncertain as to what the future path is. As each day and frankly week goes by, it's becoming clearer that even if a conflict was to end in the morning, we would still have a more medium-term disruption to energy markets that would keep that pressure upwards on energy inflation. So I think it's quite certain now we will see an uptick in inflation this year. It's just where it settles at is the big question. The one piece of hope, I suppose, for consumers coming into this is that, remember, inflation coming into this energy shock is much lower than where it would have been at the start of 2022 when the Ukraine invasion began. At that point, we were 5% here in Ireland. Today, we're at 2.7%. But of course, a lot of the higher costs have been baked in for the last few years. So even though you're seeing a lower rate of inflation, you're still paying more at the tills.
We'll come to bond markets in a second, but I was interested that Christine Lagarde, the boss of the ECB, said that markets were underpricing the impact that this would have on energy prices.
Yeah, she made that comment yesterday. And I think some of that comes back to where it's just so difficult for people to get a handle on what is happening. And really, it's been an exceptional few weeks for markets, and in particular this week for bond markets too. And anyone who's looking at them is trying to figure out, again, how long will this conflict last? What is the extent of the damage, not only to current supply, but more so to future prediction or production of energy prices? And I can't say if markets are underpricing it, but that's what Christine Lagarde said.
And she has a fair bit of data at her fingertips. Yeah. Now, let's focus on bond yields. American bond yields, but notably also British bond yields, are seriously rising at a worrying rate.
Yeah, so even European, if we start there, European bond market as a whole is set for one of its largest sell-offs in over a year this week from a weekly standpoint of view. UK bonds are trading even higher again. So we are seeing UK bond yields as of this morning are sitting just marginally below the 5% mark, but they hit above 5% on Monday and at other points throughout the week and indeed last Friday as well. Why is this so important to point out? Well, this is the highest rate for UK bond yields that we've seen since 2008. So even higher than the mini budget crisis of Liz Truss a number of years ago. We've seen a number of days of where there's been large swings as well in that bond yields market. So swings of up to 50 basis points, which is highly unusual. Where is this stemming from? Again, it's coming from that uncertainty and that risk. We know that the Bank of England last week voted 9-0 to hold interest rates where they were. So that level of swing in the bond market was probably unusual given the stability of the decision by the Bank of England. But markets are pricing in that increase in inflation and therefore an increase in interest rates to come from the Bank of England down the line. And investors, remember, bond yields rise when the prices of government bonds fall. And it's essentially the market saying we demand a higher return in order to absorb that higher risk that is there now. There's also a slightly different dynamic in the UK market than perhaps what we're seeing maybe in German bonds, even though they have also rose, all government bonds yields have increased, is that they're even energy market that is less diverse. Energy or UK power prices are set off a marginal unit, but that marginal unit is typically gas. And UK has less gas storage than what would be seen, for example, in Germany. So it's a number of different factors, but again, it's all driven by that huge uncertainty that is there.
And then, of course, there's the US bond yields. They're at 4.4, 4.42. Which is at TACO levels, i.e. the point at which Donald Trump says, and he said it last night, we're going to pause bombing for a little bit.
Yes, you might remember at a stage last year, just after April, we would have seen the US government bond yields hit a rate of 4.5%. It's also important within this dynamic to not only look at the 10-year bond, but the 30-year bond yield as well, because that is what saw the largest moves last time round. Bond markets, we know, are incredibly powerful in a sense.
Yeah.
Why do we want
them? James Carville wants to be reborn as the bond market.
As the bond market. We know that increase in bond yields, why are they important? Well, they increase the cost of government debt, essentially. We've had quite a large increase in government debt levels across numerous economies around the world. The US, we've spoken about quite extensively here, you and I, Joe, in the early hours of the morning, but also to the UK, France, all dealing with very high debt to GDP ratios and levels that we don't typically see during a time when economies are expanding and growing. So if there is to be this continued upward pressure in bond yields, it will place extensive pressure on governments and their overall fiscal policies or paths going forward.
Now, the European Parliament has finally rubber stamped the EU-US, I won't call it a trade deal, but I'll call it trade agreement, which is agreed last summer.
Yes, so last summer in Turnberry in Scotland, we would have seen the US and EU trade agreement formed. And it's taken quite a long time to get from end of July, start of August period to today. It was passed through the European Parliament, but there are some conditions behind that which will now be passed that stemmed from the Commission that will now be discussed later in the summer months as well by the European institutions. So it's not fully across the line yet, but it certainly represents a step forward, and a step forward after there would have been some uncertainty around it.
Well, that's
at the early
the
days
United
of
States
this year.
Threatened to invade part of the European Union.
Yes, we saw that uncertainty earlier in the year that did put a question mark over this trade deal, a massive one. And what does this provide? I suppose it again solidifies to the market that even though we've seen huge volatility with tariff trade policies over the past year that this path is continuing. It gives certainty to businesses as to the cap, I suppose, as to where tariffs will be at, which again is, at least in all the chaos and uncertainty that is there, provides some element of certainty in what is a crazy world at the moment.
Very uncertain world. Kate, thank you so
much. Trying to find this glimmer of hope.
That is Kate English. Thank you so much. Chief Economist with Deloitte.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.